What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio in partnership with Showtime.
Welcome back to another edition, All the Smoke. We on this NYC run. Good to see you, bro.
On the east side.
Yeah, you already know.
Dick.
We got some representatives over here, man. One of the best podcasts in the game. $1 million worth of game.
$1 million worth of game.
Our brothers.
Our brothers. Just
but hold up. Time out. Why did you shake his hand? Y'all didn't see each other all day. I'm not shaking his hand.
Oh, yeah, that's
shaking
his
little
hand?
Too much.
No, you want a hug.
Yeah, I'm going to have a hug you. Let's get a group hug, y'all.
Nah, we're not doing no more. I'm going to get a group hug. Man, welcome to the show. You already know who they are, but Gilly and Wallow, man, we appreciate y'all taking
my brothers.
Time.
My brothers.
Coming out to Manhattan.
I'll get you a hug.
I forgot where you came from. He liked to hug it out. Hey, I forgot where you came from. He liked to hug it out.
He get a hug, pinch your butt.
I just like to hug people. That's all.
It's a prison hug.
I mean.
Oh, shit. Man, we both pretty much got started in this game at the same time, and it's dope to see. Obviously, people you fuck with kind of excel on the same level. You know, we kind of both respectively in our yeah. categories have kind of risen to the top. What has 2021 been like for you guys?
For me, man, it's just been, you know, chasing it, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to get a youth more game, which is guidance, attention, motivation, and education. You know, and just really trying to get the culture, the interviews that they're looking for,
mm-hmm.
and the content that they're looking for. That's all we about, you know, we don't do a lot. We just,
yes,
we older, so we chill, you know, we just basically document our life,
mm-hmm.
you know, turn the camera on, document our life, go get the interviews that people want to see and give them to the world, that's all.
Wallow, where you were sitting at a while ago, sitting down, got out, did you ever picture it was going to be like this? I'm sure you had an idea of what you could do, but you ever picture it could be like this?
Only thing I knew that I said, I'm going to go out, get with cuz, and I'm just gonna live. It wasn't over structure. I ain't no overthinking.
Right.
I ain't no super plan. I'm just a doer. Came home, was doing my thing on social media. I actually started my Instagram in jail. I had a wireless hotspot and an iPod Touch.
how long were you locked down for? How long were you down
20
for?
Years.
20 years.
I did from 17 to 37. Two armed robberies, two firearm violations had got sentenced to 19 and a half to 52 year sentence. Did 20, came home and...
You violated twice?
Huh?
You violated twice?
No, I ain't violated. I said I got sentenced
two
to
charges.
19 and a half. I had two different cases.
Okay.
I got sentenced to 19 and a half to 52 years. I came home, but I was already doing my thing on Instagram in the cell. They ran in my cell one day, caught me with five cell phones. I started selling phones and shit. It got crazy. I turned into a cell phone, telecommunication.
He was a drug dealer in jail.
He was a tech communications?
Yeah, so I was just, I was like, damn, you know, ain't nobody on social media. Because I used to just talk to dudes in the yard, try to encourage people.
So what year is this?
This was 2013 to 14. I had the cell phone. Then okay. I got caught 14.
Okay.
And I came home 2017.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, really respect your grind, you know, obviously being a fan and getting to know you more. But like you said, you're not an overthinker. You were talking to me and Jack before we got on camera about just how you hit the ground running and your motivational speaking. You out here running in motherfucking monsoons, giving people game on life. Like, where is all that energy and thoughtfulness come from?
One of my homies told me I was the happiest dude in jail. He was like, yo, you the happiest name in jail, man.
I said, eight jobs.
Listen, I said...
Captain of the wrestling team.
No, I didn't. I wasn't captain of the wrestling team.
Like, guarding the prison showers.
I'm not going to say all that. I will say this.
You was occupied.
Listen. I had a lot of jobs. I had a lot of jobs so I could move around the prison.
Right.
I worked in the warehouse. I worked in a...
Don't got none of the jobs.
No, I'm just saying. I was a chef in the jail.
Ran karaoke night.
No, I ain't do that one.
Yes, you did.
I thought about it, but I didn't do that. That was a little... Whatever. But I used to just... And so one day my homie said, yo, you always happy. I said, you know why I know why I'm here. I did my crime. I ain't no innocent man. So I'm doing my time, and I know I'm going to go home. But I'm not going to be in here mad at the world because, like I tell people, I wasn't in jail. I was in Yale. I wasn't in prison. I was in, you know, Princeton. I wasn't in State Penn. I was in Penn State. I was getting my mind together. Right. Reading, watching things on TV.
Smut magazines.
Smut, definitely. Porn magazines. That was a big study of mine. Just living life and just
study of his.
You know,
hey, you had to have the gift or gab and be a finesse to have all them jobs and all them connects in jail.
No, I didn't. All I had to do was one thing. I had to move to lock in my next move. When I went and did a job, see, one thing about dudes, especially from our culture, niggas don't like to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they lazy, facts. Bro. I'm be straight up. I'm the type of dude, if I come in here and I got to run this joint, I'm going to run this thing. And if you ain't in the way, get out the way. Mm-hmm. So my work ethic was so good that supervisor, I'm like, yo, I'm trying to get that other job. I'm going to call over this dude. So, you know, at the end of the day, you got to move to lock in. You got to move to lock in your next move. I start off at 19 cent. So I said, damn, okay. The highest you go is 42 cent. When I get to 42 cent, I'm working for a pay raise that don't exist. I'm just a grinder.
Yeah.
Because if you grind out anywhere on the earth, you're going to fucking win.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're going bullshit, you want to be lazy, you want to be cool, you want to be lit, you ain't got shit coming.
Mm-hmm.
So my whole thing is like, I don't care where I'm going to go at. I'm going to just grind and anything going to pay out, you know?
For the future of podcasting, what comes to your mind when we tell you, like, you guys are the future in your genre of podcasting? What does that mean to you? Because I know when me and Jack got in the game, we were at my house smoking in the bay, and I was like, you want to do a podcast? We didn't really even know what it was. I'm sure probably similar to you guys. Like, what is it really? But at the end of the day, it's just y'all being y'all. So when we say, like, you guys are setting the bar for the future of podcasting in your genre, what does that mean to you?
I just think, I think we set it because me and Gil came, and from people knowing us, we made it look so easy to where, though you see us, you just like, oh, these dudes is cutting the camera. You don't see the side of us setting the company up, making sure our shit trademarked, paying taxes, going to B&H, buying thousands and thousands of dollars worth of equipment. You know, me sitting there learning this shit.
I seen that myself when I came over there. Yeah. I just bought all that equipment. I seen it in my own eyes.
We saying, you know what? We set in the studio. We going to get this building. We going down here. We going to build this room. We going to get our sound. We going to do this. We going to get the sponsor. So it was like, people don't see that part, but we makes it look so easy where it is. You could take a phone and an app and start a podcast. And that's our whole thing. Our whole thing to people is just do that shit. To me, a podcast is nothing but people there talking about a certain topic or issue or whatever. That's all this shit is to me. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to overdo it. Only thing that's different from us, either it's going to be me and him, or we're going to get the people that you like, and we're going to get them to give you $1 million worth of game, both based off their experience.
Right.
You was able to get $1 million worth of game because you done made millions. You done made it happen. Mm-hmm. You got stuff that you could tell, rather, you know, on life, on sports. So that's all we do, and it's simple. Now, you don't have to do that. You could talk about, you could have a podcast talking about furniture, and I don't think people understand that. You could have a podcast having fictional stories. You could have a podcast talking about cars. You could have a podcast talking about...
Anything.
People try to, from our culture, we look to the same thing. Oh, let's talk about rap. Oh, let's talk about sports. Oh, let's talk about that. In order to take it to the next level in this game, you got to bring something new. To where as though you could put ads up against that shit. To where as though, okay, if I'm talking about furniture, you know how many furniture companies probably want to put ads on that shit?
Mm-hmm.
Table. And I don't think people understand the business side. They just looking at it like, oh, they just talk. Nah, this shit is a business side, baby.
Mm-hmm. So we believe in what we selling.
Right.
I so we're willing to invest whatever it takes.
Yeah, we spend whatever.
Into our shit for our shit to go, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? A lot of people be 1 foot in, 1 foot out, even the people that got money. They want to go use somebody else's money to,
get it,
to run around. We don't wait on nobody, man. Be like, no, that's what we want to do. Okay, let's find a production company. Okay, what y'all, okay, look, we want to shoot TV show. Oh, come on, let's go, let's get it. What y'all want? Okay, we don't play no game.
Because we living in a world where as though technology cut the middleman out. I'm not playing no games and waiting for nobody. We got to sit here because, you know, you got agencies, you got talent agencies, you got production companies. Everybody want to be sitting here waiting, talking about the formula. My life wasn't no fucking formula or no blueprint that somebody else lived. My life was me getting up. I'm successful because I got up and I just done. All that structural shit, I ain't know nothing about that.
All that overthinking shit? We don't even believe, we don't even subscribe to that shit.
You know what I mean?
You know what I'm saying?
You want to do
something? We should do this because this and because... And y'all think about that shit too much, man. We just go, man.
And as simple as, if you want to shoot a movie, you can shoot it on here. Mm-hmm. If you got a couple dollars, go get with a production company. If you ain't got no money for no production company, who the dude in your neighborhood that's a good videographer and who know how to edit? Listen, man, I got this couple
that's
thousand
simple.
For you. It's simple. Fuck the middleman, because you'll sit there and you'll be waiting all this super deep shit. Oh, I got to hear this. I got to. Man, that's more motherfuckers in your pocket, man. Bet on yourself. Put it out. And if you got an audience, the audience is where the money at.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't care if you got this puck or this company. No. They need your audience.
Mm-hmm. And just like him, like I know that shit ain't scripted, but he did it on his own. When you go to the car dealership, when you go to the insurance place.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's on your own. That
on
shit ain't
own.
Scripted.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the hustle that's probably lost today. You know what
Absolutely.
I'm saying? People understand that type of hustle.
But that's the people understanding business. Like, okay, you move the needle. Okay, how can we make this relationship work? Okay, I'm gonna need some of this company.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Get some equity out of it.
Cash equity.
Right.
I need some money and I need some equity.
So now when I'm representing, I'm not representing for no company, I'm representing for us.
Yeah.
I'm speaking for all of us.
Yeah.
Cause this is my shit too.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying? So for us, man, we don't really never overthink shit, man. Because a lot of times that be people failure.
Yeah. Because you
think... They want to do something, then they, I don't know.
Instead of just letting it happen.
Yeah.
Wait, man, do that shit.
And the way to go is, you'll think about it. Okay, this is what I want to do. I'm going to drink this water. Then I'm sitting back and thinking, I'm thirsty. Why they ain't drink their water? Now I'm going to wait till they drink their water. All this dumb shit. No.
Drink that shit.
We're thirsty. Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah, I was waiting for you to send me this shit.
Dumb shit.
Yeah.
You got about 20 minutes now.
And everybody is valuing a bunch of people opinion and ain't do nothing.
Yeah, right. That don't matter.
Listen, you're not telling me how to make this table if you never made no tables.
Right.
I'm not trying to hear it. Just because your fears and insecurities and your shortcomings on life, that shit ain't got nothing to do with me. Say that shit.
Yeah. I think that's huge, because I think people, the negativity comes from fear from that person.
They put that shit on you.
They put that fear on you and turn into negative conversation because they're scared to go out there and get it.
And whatever you got to say about me, guess what? Yeah, Wallow's a dickhead, Wallow goofy, Wallow crazy. Oh, hold up, that ain't none of my business. Mm-hmm. If I'm worrying about what you're saying, I'm minding your business now.
Right.
That shit ain't got nothing to do with me. And I hope that whatever you're saying about me, you putting that shit out there to the universe. Go on social media and talk about me, because haters is your marketing team. Let them work.
Salt ain't number
Let them work, please. Please let them work.
Salt
you know what I mean? So, you know, I think people, like, we living in the world, this technology, whereas though comments got too much fucking power. People fear comments more than they fear God in this world.
Talk about it.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a comment. It's like, you know, it'll break somebody's whole life. It'll shatter somebody's whole life. A couple comments. So now we living in a world where everybody fearful. So it's like, all right, y'all
and
go
the reality
fearful.
Is that the comment could be a 16-year-old boy in Nova Scotia.
A fake page. Totally
or
fake page.
Or a 45-year-old loser that never done nothing in their life.
A robot.
Right.
A robot.
But they put that negative energy. It's just like, I like to call it a transformation of energy, because like we could all be sitting here and we all happy, we busting it up, and somebody could walk in with some negative energy and it's like, what's up, bro? Change the whole room up.
Yeah.
Fuck the whole room up. Now we sitting here, we ain't even got the same energy because his energy fucked the whole room up.
Yeah.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boog. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
That's
my
game,
bro.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Y'all done a lot of interviews, man. Floyd, KD, Shaq, Ice Cube. What's the best interview to y'all done up to date that had y'all in awe?
For me, it's got to, you know, my first love before my wife and was basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So it probably would have to be the KD or, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm...
Your hoop at heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He grew up, you know, he grew up like a rap groupie, you know what I mean?
No, but how you
got your head in them dudes, he gave them dudes hand jobs back in the day.
Yeah.
How you gonna grow up loving something that never loved you? You was a bum. You went to D-League college.
I got it, man.
You was a bum.
I was fuck with Special Ed.
That was my shit.
I got it, man.
You was a bum, like...
Special Ed was jamming.
Yeah, he was. I fuck with Special Ed, but he was in love with them.
No, I wasn't in love with
them. Different. You like, I fuck with Special Ed. He was in love with Master P.
No, I was.
Back in 1996.
Oh, yeah, Master P was a legend. I told
you. See how he said I was?
Yeah, no, I said, no, that was my OG. See, I looked at rappers as like Chuck D was my uncle, you know what I mean? Eazy-E was my uncle. These dudes were my uncles and shit and cousins and shit. I didn't look at them like y'all did. But I'm gonna just say this. How could you love basketball? Basketball ain't never loved you. You was a fucking bum. You went to a D-League college. You went to a D-League college. Nobody in here know what your college is. You say you went to, no, shout out to everybody that's going to college, educating themselves in Cabrini. But you went to a college that nobody know. You was a bum. You didn't go to no D1.
All right, you keep talking about my college.
You ain't go to no D1.
I'm gonna come back and get you.
You ain't go to no D1.
He's gonna come back and get you.
You ain't go to no D1.
He's gonna come back and get you.
You ain't go to no D1 school.
He mad because.
He was a bum.
Hold on, let me ask you a question. Am I a hood legend?
Or what?
Up Erie Avenue for basketball.
That shit don't mean nothing.
No, I'm asking you a question.
Erie Avenue.
Yes, it do. Yes, it do. Because he can sit here right now and name a bunch of hood legends from his hood that's like, no, he probably could have.
Yeah.
But he got caught up. I got locked up when I was in college.
Who's your game like?
Who's my game? Who's Kenny Anderson.
I was about to say. That's funny. I was about to say that.
His shot,
see,
all that.
See, that's I tough. Know what my game
well,
is
why
like.
You messing that, why you messing that man name up?
Chips.
Tell him who my game like. You know who my man is. Tell him who.
Stanley Roberts.
No.
No, whoa, whoa. I don't even know him.
I don't even know him.
Absolutely.
You already know him. You already know
him. Hey, he was nice in college, Stanley.
Stanley was a beast.
He was nice in college.
He was a beast.
He was nice in college.
You already know who.
Who's your game like, in your opinion?
You already know. Come on. Sean Kemp, stop playing. You already know that.
Who?
You know that. You know my shit like Sean Kemp.
That's what Sean Kemp is nothing alike.
That's
you
my,
had
come on, that's my
vertical in your prime.
That's my, come
and
on.
And Sean Kemp got like 14 kids, and you got a fucking cap gun. You don't have nothing in common.
This is my fucking guy.
You don't have nothing in common. Like,
you just hating on me, man.
Like, how you gonna compare yourself to somebody? Y'all have nothing. I would have been Sean Kemp. Sean Kemp got like 15 kids.
It ain't got nothing to do with his kids. I'm talking about his game. My game is like that.
Like you shooting blanks. Pop, smoke come out like.
Everybody that I mention, he hate on. When I talk about sports, I'm talking about like D Brown. You know,
he always talk about motherfuckers that's still, they was all right, but like they be his favorite players. Like,
I don't know. I just. I be worried about your hoop game by your attire.
No, that's to throw the young ones off. It's a color scheme, because, you know, they can't, a lot of them are sensitive to colors. So when I come, they think like, old head don't, no, straight up. They like, old head don't know. Old head don't know what's going on, so they sensitive. The so if I come on the field, and then.
You said if I come on the field, see, that's
no, what I'm no, I ain't said the field, I said the court. Now listen, and then it's this too, then it's this. A lot of teams that you see me wearing on, one thing about me, my teams change every year.
Okay.
Like,
okay,
Milwaukee's right. My fucking squad right now.
Okay.
I've been fucking with them since Ray Allen. I'm just being straight up. I'm not staying with nobody that don't win no fucking championships.
Be honest.
The Lakers was my, like, that's how I'm rocking. I'm not sitting there waiting for no team to win.
Who's
your team? Why would I do that dumb shit?
Who's your team this year?
That's stupid.
Who's your team this year?
I gotta wait to the finals. I'm just being straight up. Milwaukee, I'm still holding in with Milwaukee right now on a strip for Ray Allen, because they say my game was like his too. On back in the day tip. But like, I gotta, no, it's changing certain shit.
Nah. Let me tell y'all a question we asked, right? We had a basketball player on the podcast, right? And we asked him, who career would you rather have? Robert Horry?
Seven rings.
Pretty okay player, right?
He wanna be mad about seven rings, you know.
Or Charles Barkley. You feel what I'm saying? He was a great player, but he didn't win no rings. You know what this man said?
Barkley! What?
He said,
why the f?
I don't drink champagne.
Why would I want
somebody pouring champagne on me?
Robert Horry, I had to, like, you keep getting to be in the locker room with boys pouring champagne on you. Don't pour that shit on me. I'm not no stripper, man.
I know.
Why would I want that shit on me? Mike and all, I don't know what was going on in them locker rooms. You got a dude spraying you down with champagne. What type of wild shit
he's
is that?
He's a loser.
I'm not,
he's
I'm going to Barkley's a legend. Shout out to Barkley, my old head. I'm not going through that shit. Fuck no, I'm not going through that. You spraying champagne on me, man. What the fuck is we going with?
There's some players that probably made 15 to 10 All-Star games that would rather be Robert Horry right now, that don't have no championship.
Talk to him.
They want
to
be Robert Horry, bro. It's some players. It's a lot of players that would love
I'm not
to
mad
be.
At you. I'd rather be Barkley, too.
Barkley's a fucking legend.
I don't want to be post-career Barkley, the way he's shaped, but, like, in his prime.
Barkley's a legend. More people
love Robert Horry than Charles Barkley.
And I'm not going front.
Post career, what you talking about? Stuff vacuum bag?
Just dirt. Like, if you told me, I already got a lot of respect for Horry, too. But if you told me you want to be Barkley or Robert Horry, I'd say Barkley.
But that not for his reasons.
I don't know what his... I don't like champagne either, but I don't want to be a reason.
Thank you. He's with me.
But... You wouldn't want to win a championship because you wouldn't want champagne poured.
And if I do win a championship, I'm leaving the locker room.
He's experienced the champagne.
Yeah, championships are amazing. Like, don't get me wrong.
Who sprays you now? Did somebody spray you now?
No. I got sprayed down by Tim Duncan from Champagne. That was the best champagne shower I've ever had.
I let my kids do it.
And I'll take another champagne shower if I'm celebrating the chip.
No, but I'm just saying, if you're looking at...
You feel me? Can't handle it.
I'm a winner.
What's wrong with
it? I'm mad at that. No, I respect it.
I got a confession to make.
I respect it.
I got one confession to make.
Uh-oh.
It wasn't.
Y'all had a juicy juice.
No, Barkley. Barkley is special. That's one of my favorite players. Barkley's one of my favorite players, and I was a Phoenix Suns fan. They didn't win. Dan Marley, Cedric Caballos, you know, the whole team. That was my squad at that time.
KJ.
I'm putting it out there. KJ, that was my guy. Because they say my game was similar to his too. But I'm
Kevin
gonna say
Johnson?
This. Yeah, he was a legend. But listen, I'm gonna say this too.
Kevin Johnson had
that's the only team I probably really liked that didn't win. I liked them for a minute. They didn't win. They disappointed me. But most of my teams won chips. All my teams.
You pick them in the finals. That's how it's supposed to be.
I'll pick them, listen.
Wait till they win.
No, I don't wait till they win. I just had both of my jerseys prepared.
Like, wait till they get the lead.
Both teams.
Especially if it's going down. And if it's, I get emotional because I had this attachment with the victory. You remember the Lakers when I cried? I called you crying. I was happy.
Hey, so moving on. December.
Fuck it, I love it.
December, you guys are going to start going on tour. Tell us about your tour and the cities you guys plan on hitting.
December
4th, we're in D.C.
D.C. Then December December 5th, we in New York City. Then December 7th, we in Baltimore. And it goes on. We're going to L.A., we're going to San Francisco, we're going to Chicago, we're going to Atlanta. We're hitting seven cities in like 2 weeks. We not playing, man. You know?
I need some VIP when y'all come
down.
Hey,
we got you. Absolutely. We got you, man. We're going to be in there tripping.
No Atlanta?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we be in Atlanta?
Okay, yeah, I'm in Atlanta.
We're going to do it up, man.
I'm pulling up.
Matter of fact, y'all can pull up, sit down on the couch with us.
Yeah,
we can have some fun, talk about life, whatever.
So how did you guys come across that?
We already, one thing about us, we did our own show in Philly. Sold out the Met in Philly.
We did three shows in Philly. Our first year we did one, the crowd was maybe, I think it was 700 people. The second one we did, I think the crowd was
1,000 people.
Yeah, and this one was
and
like...
then the Met was 3,500.
Mm, that's big.
That's the one where you came dressed out like Kanye, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's dope.
I had to bring Yeezy out, man.
Yeah, that was dope.
Yeah. So, you know, we just trying to, you know, keep elevating.
That's big, though.
We might have some shit for y'all, too. Are you guys working with a group that does that, or are you guys putting all that together on your own?
No, we got help putting it together.
We might have some shit to talk about, too. Because we going on tour, and what we doing, we hitting in 2022, but we're bringing ourselves, a musical act, and a comedian, so just kind of make it like an evening.
Absolutely. Well, that's what we did at the Met. We sold the Met out on just on us.
First of all, that's dope.
But then we surprised
Jade pissed
them.
Bam.
Yeah.
He's a problem, and so, it was magic.
So imagine you think you just coming to watch us on the couch, and then you get there, and we bring out Jadakiss, we bring out Fabulous, we bring out Beanie and Freeway,
that's
we
hard,
bring out
fun.
B. Simone.
Be ready.
And then we brought out Kanye.
Yeah, we brought out Ye.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Kanye was the headline.
That's dope.
You know what I mean?
That's dope.
Kanye
was Gil Ye.
Kanye opened up for us.
Yeah, that was Gil Ye.
Yeah.
And then what made it so good is Vori sent Kanye the video of
and
me.
I saw that.
And said, I didn't know you was in Philly. And Kanye said, that's iconic.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what's up.
That was dope.
Now, that's one thing I will say. I just watched his interview on Drink Champs. And you can say whatever you want, but I just think the more and more I watch him, like the David Letterman shit.
He on point to me.
Man, he was saying some off-the-wall shit every once in a while, but more times than not, he's on point.
He's on point.
More times than not, he's on point.
Mm-hmm.
I fuck with Kanye heavy. Both y'all from Philly. I didn't know until we was doing our research. You guys are first cousins. I didn't even know that. That's dope.
My little cousin.
This is my little big cousin. And shit.
Okay, little yeah, big.
Used to change his diaper. Oh,
but he's older.
He's 50.
No, I'm older than him.
He's 50 right now.
The fuck out of here. I'm 45.
I'm 42.
He's
50.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he's talk about
him to the store and shit. Go get me a soda. Keep the change. All that shit.
Who were some of you guys' influences coming up in Philly in the early 80s?
Well, mine's was, you know, Barkley, Dr. J. You know, his was rappers.
Okay.
Yeah.
He always wanted to rap. He knew that since he was, I didn't,
you know. While he had nothing.
He didn't have no other skills, man.
He had nothing on the rap side?
He was a rapper.
I used to write his raps.
I'm saying he didn't have nothing. He was nice. He wasn't nice.
I used to write Gil raps.
He was low key. Yeah. He was a better thief.
He was nicer than you, though.
He was a better thief than he was rapper. Fuck no, he wasn't better than me.
Yeah,
you know how.
You know how hard that is?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Listen, he's a bum.
He's a bum.
I think growing up in the ghettos of America, all of us have an outlet. Some of it is sports, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, few baseball, and some of our outlets be the music. These outlets is what the music be the soundtrack to the struggle. Mm. And it be a release when you're going through what you're going through, especially in the 80s. It was like, to me, my release was when I'm listening to Public Enemy or whoever I was listening to, that was a soundtrack to my struggle, mm-hmm. that when we could listen to this music or you go to the hoop court, because shit was real in the 80s. I don't think, you know, now, like a lot of kids, I tell them, I say, y'all
no
don't even understand how good y'all got
they
it.
They got right? no clue.
This shit is like a dream. Like, we couldn't even fathom or dream about living in this world. This is like a different world that y'all got growing up in the, how now we able to be in a position to give them a better life than we had. You know, a lot of these dudes ain't grow up and see they, you know, they mom smoking coke or they friend got to come over their house because they mom on drugs and she done lost their house and they got to share clothes and sharing a bed and turning a, you know, the TV with the pliers and the antenna is the coat hanger and just trying to refrigerator get break down. You got to put the stuff on the roof of your apartment. So the music was, that's why I love hip hop and just R&B. It was a music that had you thinking somewhere else. When your mom played that music
mm-hmm.
and she was cleaning the house and she was happy, you was happy, you didn't know what you was going to eat, you know, the welfare
but at
check.
At that moment, you was in another place.
You was in another place
yeah.
when you heard your mom playing Luther Vandross, oh, my love.
Yep.
And she's sweeping and you mopping. You know what I mean? She going to put it together. She might got
you
hit next
mopping,
door.
Nigga. Yeah, you never clean.
I was mopping.
You didn't clean it.
She
was
telling me, I was mopping, I'll get my ass whipped. That was a different story. You know, that's when you had an ass whipped.
Ain't no choice.
They don't do them joints no more.
Yeah,
no,
that's child
you know what I mean?
Your ass now, you go to jail.
Yeah,
child abuse
you can't even holler at nobody. I'm just saying it is what it is. But like, that
I never went under that law, even. Just what? For the record, I put hands and feet on my motherfucking kids when they was growing up. Just for the
you
record.
You so little, they put hands and feet on you. You's a small person. Shut up. At the end of the day, it was like, everybody had their release, and that, you know, or, you know, had their escape.
Right.
sports or music.
Take their mind somewhere.
And music was mine, just listening.
So you grew up in and out of juvie. You know, obviously we talked about the bid. What was the turning point? Did the turning point hit you while you was in prison, or did it hit before? Like, when did it hit?
Yeah, it hit me while I was in prison, because you got to think. I first got locked up June 30th, 1990. I was 11 for, like, a couple days.
North Philly?
North Philly. I got locked up for robbery and...
Missed out your family, cook.
My life, yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah, my life, it just went from there. June 30th, 1990, I got locked up. I got locked up the week after, then by September 1990, I was sent away for a year. And I went on to spend 5 years in the juvenile system. And then when I was turned 17, I just turned 17 in October, I had got locked up for the cases, and I wound up spending the 20. So since I've been on this planet, I spent more time incarcerated than I did free.
That's crazy.
Like, this is the first time in the history in my life since I was 11, since the first time I got locked up, that I ever been out of prison longer than a year. Mm-hmm. I make the 5-year mark on February 17.
Congrats, bro. That's big shit.
February 18th, 2022. So it's like, this is the first time. So, you know, when I was in jail, what happened to me was...
He gonna shake it. I ain't shaking your hand for not going to jail.
Listen, but I mean, congrats. To be out that
stay
long... Out.
Yeah, shut up. Give me a hug. It's like, no. But no, the reality is...
Some hugs, huh?
I like hugs. The reality is...
He started that in prison.
Yeah, my celly, but that's another story. Listen, but... you know what I mean? I needed a hug sometimes. Celly, hug me, please.
Console me. Let's cuddle.
Yeah.
You come up to my bunk.
Yeah. I don't say cuddle. We come up to my bunk. I'm not going to say cuddle. It might have almost got...
They both be on the top bunk. What you want?
Spooning.
Towels up. We be out of it.
And we had our clothes on. That wouldn't count as nothing. That wouldn't be bad. But that's another story. I'm going to just say this, though. What happened was, Matt, what really happened was, when I was in jail, I realized that I was in prison for living a lie. Meaning, in the ghettos of America, if you're not selling drugs, if you don't get no money, if you're not doing nothing, you're a square, you're a lame. Mm-hmm. And you could be prey. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that's out there, they're gonna operate outside of the law to be accepted as cool and it fortifies you and it makes people think that you're dangerous the whole time. I had a conscience, because when we used to do shit, I used to be like, damn, why we do that? Mm-hmm. Why we do this? Why we do that? And so when I got to prison, I woke up one day.
You wanted to just break down.
Yeah, that too.
Why we do that?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But it was like, when I was in prison, I woke up one day and I was like, yo, I'm in jail for being somebody I'm not.
Mm.
Like, I did all this shit to be accepted by the idea of cool, the idea of, you know...
Fitting in,
because when I was young, only the pretty girls in my neighborhood, only people they talked to was the drug dealers that pulled up in the Mercedes Benz with the jewelry on.
Yeah,
and you never got accepted. And one thing that I loved about, one thing that I knew and I understood about America growing up is that America loved the successful criminal. They praise him and they put him on a pedestal. So when I watch, if you ask a judge, a lawyer, a cop, a district attorney, a United States prosecutor, what's your favorite movie? They're going to say Godfather, Scarface, where criminals is... I'm talking about, like, they're worshipped and they put on this pedestal if you don't get caught.
You know why?
Go ahead.
Because they are that themselves.
That too. But it's like...
That's why they love it. Yeah, that's
corporate,
what they are.
Yeah, yeah. Corporate criminals.
That too. So I'm sitting back as a kid and I'm looking at everybody fantasize about these criminals. I'm like, I got to be a criminal. That's the most important person out here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the policeman. He don't get no props. But the dude that's selling the dope and got the car or that's winning or that come and... You know, got the corner store and take care of the old ladies in the neighborhood, take care of the people. He got respect and he's feared at the same time. He's the most respected person in America. So I'm like, I got to grow up to be. But once I learned that idea was just an idea and we fantasize about that, I'm like, all right, okay. No, this shit ain't going to work.
Because it ain't no in-between.
It ain't no in-between.
Like, you see that and you think it's an in-between.
Yeah.
It ain't no in-between. It's just dead in jail.
Yeah.
See, you don't see any old, happy drug dealers. Like, my pops was in the street selling drugs, and motherfuckers is either going to be dead or in prison. Like,
on drugs, they sell.
You don't see any, retired, kick my feet up, I'm a drug dealer, I did it my whole life. You don't see that.
Never going to happen.
So what I try to do is, I said, I'm going to go to Instagram when I go home, and I'm going to tell these young cats, you know, learn from my story, but don't live my story. So I'm going to share my story with them on my journey and just put it out there. And
but
just
he
like,
used to speak in prison, too, though.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's where it all started.
The king of the prison yard.
Nah, I ain't going to say Martin, but that's where it started. But it was like, yeah, that's a strong handle to take up. But it was like, I mean, that's strong to say Martin.
But in prison yard.
Yeah, that's still strong. But it's like, to be able to, as I said, when I come home, I said, everybody on here is
is cool. They got money. So I said, I gotta be able to compete. Like I told Cuz, I said, I got to be able to compete with the timeline. Attention is worth more than anything, worth more than money. Attention is the new currency. So I said, what I got to do is when I'm coming down this timeline, the attention span is short. So I got to do something to grab your attention to make you stop. I ain't got no jewelry on. I ain't got no big car. Mm-hmm. I ain't no butt-naked girl on Instagram. So when I'm coming down that timeline, I might be running across the highway. I might be jumping off a roof.
It's your energy.
I might be laying on the ground with ketchup on my head, telling you don't wait. But I'm going to stop you to give you this message.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it was about, because everybody wanted to be cool, and ain't nobody want to tell these kids in the inner cities, like, yo, that shit ain't cool. Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing cool about going to jail.
Right.
It's cool to have a job. It's cool to be smart. Like, mm-hmm. like it's really cool to be smart, because yeah. at the end of the day, you know, we grew up in the ghetto. Everybody was laughing at the dude whose sneaks was messed up, walking to school with holes in his pants, didn't have it all. But right now...
But look at me now.
Right now, it's revenge of the nerds.
Look at me now, though.
It's revenge of the nerds.
I was that kid. Look
you see what I'm
now.
Saying? The nerds run everything. Everybody that we thought, everything that people think, the nerds wasn't cool, but they run technology. They run Facebook. They run Tesla. Everything that we worship and we subscribe to, they run that.
Right.
So it's like, you got to tell these young kids in the inner city, like, yo, man, that cool and that lit shit, that shit is momentary. You better focus on being smart.
That shit is temporary.
Thinkers run this shit out here.
Straight up.
And if you could think, you know what I mean? You're going to run the game out here. And that's what it's about.
Facts.
Let's talk about Major Figures. Talk about the group, how you got with the group.
I started the group. Grandma House. He didn't, listen, you know what was crazy? He didn't even want to, like, he didn't even know how hot he was. I was like the manager, the hype manager. I'm like, listen, cuz.
Major Figures was your idea.
You weren't my fucking manager.
You signed some paper you didn't know. You didn't know. You still.
This nigga said
you came up with Major Figures?
I came up with the name, Danny Basement. So we were in Grandma's Basement, and we, cuz he just didn't want to rap. And I'm like, yo.
I was in college. I played basketball.
How old were y'all at this time?
I was.
19, 20?
No.
Early?
I might have been 17, 18, like 15, something like that.
And my whole thing was this. I'm going to him, I'm reading all the magazines, I'm deep into hip-hop. I'm talking about more West Coast hip-hop, rap pays more. So I already knew when Master P was coming up out of Richmond, and I used to tell him, yo, we got to set this label up, we got to do this. He's like, ew. Like, I'm like, we want...
That nigga got in the car, it was like, cuz, listen to this. Now, this is 1996. I had to warm up to this shit.
I graduated.
95.
This shit came on.
I'm the first dude to play Master P.
This nigga sound like he's shitting, man. Turn that shit off, man. Don't, cuz, I'm telling you, this that shit.
First dude to play Master P in Philly.
I'm like, man, you like this rap shit too. But I didn't grow up rapping. I grew up playing basketball. I even had cable.
What was the record store on Born Area?
So for me, I was a kid. I never seen the rap videos growing up.
I did.
You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I never had cable.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was you go to school. You from school, you got basketball practice. After that, you might go home, drop your shit off. You gonna play some more basketball. And then the street side of this shit.
Is your homie Muslim?
Is your homie Muslim? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I was born for art, and that's it. That's okay. My government.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So
I played it.
For us, you know, it was like I wrote my first rap in college, playing around, fucking around with some of my homies who had some equipment. And we just used to smoke some weed, rap some shit crazy, fall the fuck out laughing. And then one day they was like, let's write something and come back and record it. And it just so happened when we came back, I was the first one to record. And all them niggas was like, yo, nigga, like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, nah, I ain't no fucking rapper, man. Y'all niggas tripping, man. Dog, that shit was hot. I'm like, yo, y'all tripping, man. Fuck is y'all talking about, man? Mm-hmm. I'm not no rapper. Then he heard the verse. Yo, cuz, this nigga was taking me everywhere talking about my cousin hot. He only got one rap.
He only got one rap.
He only got one rap.
That's all he needed.
But he hot. You know how crazy that shit sounds?
But you killed. He always
put that one rap.
He spent that one.
It was a, listen.
It was so
it was
hot.
It was the one rap. He didn't even know. But he thought he was just so good. So when I play Master P, I'm like, listen, because what was the record store in Broad Area with Tyreek? Shout out to Tyreek Wallace, where he used to work at.
Rasheed Wallace.
Yeah, what's up, Ray? What was the record store?
Continuous Motion.
You sure that was?
No. That might have been the other one.
That was the other one, but it's on Broad Area. Yeah. They had these bins. And these bins, they had like tapes that was cheap. They was from all over, though. So I used to grab a lot of West, rapping Forte, so TRU. Mm-hmm. So when I grabbed that, I said, oh, shit. And I heard Master P, this when they had to join Mobbing Through the Hood and all that. Shout out to Master P if you hear this.
I got warmed up to your shit.
I'm the first boy to play you in Philly.
He was.
Listen, I got to get with Master P. I played. I'm like, yo, this boy making his own money. He's independent. These boys coming out of so he like, nah.
See, that's one thing I can give him, though. Like, as a young, like, Wallow, all of us might, we might have been 17, 18. Wallow might have been 15, but you wouldn't have thought Wallow was 15.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was always tall. Then nigga got a tattoo on his neck. Fuck bitches, take money.
That's when I was young.
Niggas didn't even get tattoos. Like
this was 95.
That's what the tattoo really said?
Yeah, right here. It's faded. You can see. FBTM. That's when I was young and crazy. I was crazy. You gotta understand, I was like 15.
So imagine, you know, we all young, but he the youngest. But he one of the tallest.
Mm-hmm.
Then he got a tattoo, so you be like, oh no, he ain't. You know, you wouldn't even think he was 14. You wouldn't even think he was 15. You feel what I'm saying?
Some bitches take money.
Bro, yeah, that was my mindset.
That's what we was on, bro.
That's what he was on.
I just wanted some pussy on. And get some money. That's all. You know what I mean? So it was like, but that music shit, I'm like, yo, because I seen something early. Like me, I looked to rappers younger, but as I grew up, I looked to CEOs and I started understanding what was going on when you had Master P, Lil J, Suge Knight, Tony Draper. I was worrying about them dudes. Because what I seen that was going on, I seen you go to New York, you're going to sign to some label. But these dudes are creating their own opportunities early in the game. All this independent shit. So it was like, yo, you know, and then, you know, then the babies and everybody else came and it was like so many other. And so my whole thing was like, yo, cuz, this dude is that. We getting in the studio. I'm taking you to the studio. I got my man Peanut 2020. Take him to the studio. He's getting samples, and I said, "Come on, we got rap. Let's rap."
Like he signed the contract. The third and fourth song I ever did was number one on the radio in Philly on the countdown. You know how they do Power Night.
Mm-hmm.
The number two, Destiny's Child. I was a local artist, and my song was number one on the countdown for weeks on top of weeks. And you gotta understand, I wasn't no rapper.
Right.
So literally, I went to the studio, and at this time, he done got locked up.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? But now, I'm starting to believe in this shit. Like, oh, wait, everywhere I go, every time I rap, motherfuckers is losing their mind, going crazy. Like, I got signed. I probably had, like, 14 raps, man. It was a whole fucking bidding war going on between all the records. The third song I ever did that we put to the radio was called Love for Gilly. I went to the studio, I said, what I'm gonna rap about? The nigga Marcus Graham said, rap about what you got love for and what you don't got love for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a smart motherfucker, so to me that was easy. I was like, okay, I can do that. Turn some beats on. Listen to some beats. I like this beat right here. Went right, wrote my shit. I was always a fast writer. I always put that shit together fast. They don't even know what I'm about to come with. I go right in there. I got love for thug niggas and thug misses. Marijuana smoke, mo poppers and dime sippers. Drug dealers, credit card counterfeiters. My niggas locked up and all of my broke niggas. I got love for wild parties and wide bodies. Sweaters by Armani, killers like John Gotti. Bad women in short dresses with huge breasts. The buggy eyed wagon with the triple headrests. It's my time to shine, you know I'm going blind. And Gilly got love for other niggas' baby moms. And what if hating on Lil Gilly was a crime? It be no men left here, they all get the death chair. In the top three, but I might be the best here. Low rugby, Timberlands, and my guest wear. Them niggas was
outside. I roll half of that.
No, the fuck he did. He was in jail. I was outside of the booth looking at that motherfucker like, what?
Nigga said, I roll half of that. That shit hot right now.
Hell yeah.
That was in 1996.
Yeah.
Or 1997. You feel what I'm saying? So it was like, all right, okay. Once that shit hit the radio and they was calling, requesting that shit nonstop, and I just keep hearing, number one, love. I'm like, what the
fuck? That shit hard as fuck.
And you know what happened? What's so crazy is like, the same way Major Figures got started, it's the same way Million Dollars Worth of Game got started. Because I'm the dude that'll sit back. Me and Gil, see, one thing that's good about me, we listen to each other.
Information dude.
I'm the one that said, I'm the one that's excited about getting the logos done and all that stuff. Shout out to Nick Rich for creating the $1 Million River Game logo. I'm like, I'm gonna get the logo drawn. I'm gonna call a lawyer, trademark this, get the account, set up the LLC. Go get the bank. I'm that. All guilt. I just need you to show up. He's gonna do.
Yeah, you sound like me. Yeah.
I'm the dude that's gonna handle the equipment.
Yeah. I'm Gilly.
Yeah, all right, bet. You I'm gonna set up everything. Yeah. Listen, we gotta call with the attorney. We gotta go to the bank. Exactly. We gotta do this. I'm that dude.
What you say, so, Jack? I don't even gotta be in the room.
I ain't gotta be in the room when I'm in the room.
Yeah, that's why. Cause I called him and I said, yo, I'm driving from Baltimore. I mean, and when I'm driving, I'm like, all right. I said, listen, I'm gonna send you this article. Read this. Spotify allocate $400 million for Spock, some shit like that. I said, that was like in April. That was in April of just that year. They already put $400 million out for Pop. I said, yo, we missing out on, they're like.
All right.
He said, all right, come on, let's get it. I said, all right, bet. I called him back. I called Gil back later on that day. This was like 8 a.m. I'm talking to him, driving from Baltimore. By 1 o'clock, I called him. I said, sign that DocuSign. I had the LLC. I had the trademark going in. I had all the stuff. The stuff was basically already done. I had everything, the logo. I locked down the YouTube. I locked down the Twitter. I locked down the Instagram. I'm talking about all in hours. I sat there, locked everything down. It's that simple.
That's simple.
I locked everything down.
You know what I mean? Hit my man Nick, dude. We know our roles.
Yeah, we know our roles.
You feel what I'm saying? We know our roles. When it comes,
that's why it's working like that, dog. Right. We the same way.
Because he know. Gil don't want to do this shit. He been doing this type of shit for so long. He don't even want to do this
shit. I love doing this shit.
So I'm going to handle that shit.
I love it.
So you don't even got to be bothered.
Mm-hmm.
But Gil also been in a shitload of rooms handling a shitload of business.
The experience is there.
So the experience from either way is, you feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And one thing about him, he's a researcher. You could mention somebody right now with. As you talking, he'll be Googling it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I listen to people, and if I don't know, I don't know. That's what's so good about him. He'll tell me shit I don't know. I tell him shit he don't know, and we just listen.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, one thing about him, in the history of life, I'm talking about the human existence, he might be in the top 15 to 17 dickheads in the history of life. But when I tell him something, he'll listen. You see what I'm saying? Like, you know this dude's been a dickhead forever. You know this dude. You seen him on Instagram.
Right.
But he'd listen. He'd be like, damn, cuz, you right. I didn't know that.
But I'm a lovable dickhead.
You still a dickhead, though. So it don't even matter. Like, I'm talking about extraordinary historical.
But you got to understand. All right. That's what make me great. Everybody that's in our space that's loved is a dickhead. Charlamagne's a dickhead. Wendy Williams is a dickhead. these two are dickheads. You know? what are we talking about? Howard Stern's the ultimate dickhead. Like, what are we talking? That's what it takes to be loved in this space.
Okay.
You know, you gotta not give a fuck.
What number you think I will be out of the top 100?
Well, people don't really look at you like that.
But you know me.
I know the true you.
So what would the true me be on a dickhead?
I know Wallo. I don't know
Wallo. What would the true me be on a dickhead scale?
Oh, you the ultimate.
Oh, you don't know Wallo 267?
I don't know that nigga. I don't know that nigga came home from jail.
No, This is the thing. This is why you say this, because I'm the dude, like, I'm not playing no games. If somebody do some dumb shit, we cutting them off, Gil.
Right. Like, what's so bad is, right, I get all the flat, but I'm really the nice one.
No, the fuck you not.
Bro, soon as somebody do something wrong, you like, he gonna be problematic. Fire him! Right now, I'm like, no.
Does he end up being right, though?
But
trying to nip that shit in the bud off the rim.
He 3-strike ball. He always go to 3, and I'm like, I told you I had him at 1.
I gotta be able to sleep good at night. So, I'm gonna give you multiple times to fuck up. And every time you fuck up, we gonna sit down, we gonna have this, bro, why would you do that?
And I'm like,
him, he won't even say nothing to me. He be saying,
see, I'm the supervisor.
I'm the one, but then we get out of here, get rid of him now, I'm talking. So, in everybody's mind, Wallo's cool. Wallo won't even say nothing. He just said, Gilly's the one that's getting it. Second time, yo, why would you do that? You know we don't, why would you, the third time, listen, I got ice shit. Whole time he never said nothing in the meeting, but behind closed doors,
I'm like, listen, he gonna say I'm the dickhead supervisor boy to come through. Oh, you, You've been in the break room 3-4 extra minutes.
With the clipboard.
Next time, my man. Hey, listen, my man, you right there talking to the girl right here. Listen, go ahead. Just go home for the day. Don't worry about it. I'll see you next week, my man. I told you the last time. Next time you ain't gonna be here.
Yeah, he be lying.
I'll be chill.
You find out you got this unique ability to make people move. You end up going with Cash Money. But it never really materializes. To be honest with you, what I heard about you first, because I'm straight West Coast, so when I first heard about you,
it was
writing for Wayne, allegedly, or it was alleged at the time, and whatever happened with all that in the Cash Money situation?
I mean, I want the Cash Money. You know, I met them backstage. Shout out to them, because they gave me an opportunity, because I was supposed to perform on Powerhouse. I went through some issues with some other record labels. I got taken off Powerhouse. Cash Money found out about it. They didn't think that shit was cool. They let me perform. You know, I rocked that shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Stunner told me, you know, you get out your situation with Tony Draper, because at the time I was signed with Swaff House. You know, he said, I got the S for you, you know, come on over to Cash Money. So, you know,
shit is real. You act, you get killed. Playboy, this the deal. Yeah, I want the dough, the bricks, the keys to the whips. The nigga act fly. Come on, you know I'm with you. You know I'm with you.
He don't know nothing about that shit.
Come on, man. Nine little millimeter boys, man. We tripping.
He don't know nothing about that. But, so, you know.
Bum rapper, bum basketball player.
When I called Drape, and shout out to Drape, man, because that's my brother for life, man. To this day, you know, we talk a few times
Tony
a
Drape,
week.
The honorable Tony, you know, Draper.
The realest CEO, man, I ever met in my life, man. Yeah, shout out to Drape, man. But he was like, yeah, Gilly, you know, if you want to go over there, and he let me roll out, go over there. And, you know, it was an experience, you know what I mean? I wasn't willing to sell my publishing, so I never had an album come out. You know,
mm-hmm.
but that was God getting me to this point.
Right.
And you know, it's crazy how life worked, because, you know, a lot of time, the same people that was kind of, you know, holding you back then, trying to make sure you don't, you know, they be the same people that be doubling back asking for interviews.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That a motherfucker, ain't it?
And I don't even hold it against them. I'm like, come on, sit down on the couch.
Right.
Me and you know you got some coward shit going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I ain't mad at you, because you can't blackball God, nigga.
Facts.
You feel what I'm saying? So it's amazing how y'all sold a quadrillion records, but I'm hotter than you niggas right now. Isn't that amazing? How does that work?
God, don't make mistakes.
How does that work?
Allah's the best of all planners.
You feel me?
Yep.
So I just look at it as though, no, God didn't give me that money right now. At that time, he didn't give me what I was supposed to get at that time, because I wasn't ready.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't even enjoyed it. You wouldn't have enjoyed it.
I wasn't ready. I'd have been in prison or something. I'd have been running around here super duper crazy.
Money from who?
Out of control. And so now, I feel like I get my just due now. It took a little later in life, but you just keep working and you keep putting that, staying consistent, and you're going to get what's meant for you.
Standing on walls.
Yeah, money from who?
Shut up, man.
No, I'm trying to figure out what label you're talking about.
So you was on Breakfast Club and had an opportunity for a group to work with Jay on Rockefeller. Didn't end up working out. You said there might have been a small rift there. What happened with that situation?
No, I mean, we just didn't sign. You know what I mean? They put together a deal.
So explain the
you know, we were supposed to sign with, initially we were supposed to sign with Rockefeller as a group. You know, one thing about me.
Agent Figures?
Yes, I always had my business in line. So I had a solo deal with Swaff House, Tony Draper.
Mm-hmm.
But in my contract, that had nothing to do with my group shit. Taking my group somewhere else.
Mm.
You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It was initially supposed to be with over at The Rock. But, you know, the paperwork issues, when the paperwork come back, it's, you know, it don't say what it's supposed to say in our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in their eyes, it said what it was supposed to say. In my eyes, it didn't say what it was supposed to say.
Mm-hmm.
So we just turned the situation down.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually opened the doors up for State Property.
Ah.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right.
Thoughts on Drake and Kanye squashing or allegedly squashing
their issues? We stronger together.
Man, for me, you know, when two guys like that is beefing,
For me, it just don't make no sense, because it's like y'all two of the richest niggas on the planet. What the fuck is, what's the problem?
Mm-hmm.
What's the issues? I'm confused.
There's always the chick.
I ain't gonna say, yeah.
Nah, she said, I'm gonna keep it funky. That's what it was over. At the end of the day,
it's like, bro, we successful, we winning, life is in our favor. What the fuck are we mad at?
Mm-hmm.
What are we beefing for? My house is probably 115,000 square fucking feet. What the fuck am I mad about?
That sound like a prison. That's prison space.
Yes, right? That's how big niggas' houses is. They fucking.
I thought you were talking about jail.
You start sweating when we walked into when we drove into the baby crib.
Yeah, he had a wall.
You got walls around your shit like a prison.
That shit like a prison wall. That shit is humongous.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Privacy.
Yeah, he had prison walls.
Yeah, you get start sweating. We going into a nigga house, he starts sweating. You got walls like a prison. 28's fucked him up, I'm telling you.
It's crazy.
Who y'all like in the NBA right now?
Me, who got the best record?
The Warriors.
No, I'm talking to Gil. I'm not talking to
Gil. No, I'm just...
For me, I asked you at the end of the season when the finals going on.
You know, for me, I'm a Sixer fan, but I think Steph Curry taking the MVP this year.
Mm.
He is baking.
He's baking right now.
He baking shit.
Do you think that... Not to cut you off, Jack. Do you think that Ben Simmons can be... the bridge can be... Oh, you got to go.
I think Ben Simmons is an extreme disappointment, man. You know, when you say you'd rather go to mental protocol than step on the fucking court and play basketball, which you've been doing your whole life. Let's just keep it real. You're scared to step on that fucking floor in front of them Philadelphia Sixer fans, nigga. That's what it's about.
Bro, he's been...
Because if we would have shipped your ass to Sacramento, guess what you would have been doing? Playing, nigga.
Mm-hmm.
You that scared to step on that Philadelphia 76ers hardwood floor that you would say,
but bro,
send me the mental fucking protocol.
He been handicapped from the jump, bro, because the coach he had is somebody that knew him as a teenager, as a kid. So when he got there, they just let him be him. They never forced him to work on his game or a jump shot. So now he's at the point now where it's been talked about a couple of years, but now he's at the point where everybody see it, and then you see it's affecting the ability of the team to be successful, right? Yeah. So now they're like, okay, either you gonna shoot or we gotta get rid of you. But they should have done that when he first got there, bro. You see what I'm saying?
But for me, it's not even the fact of shooting a jump shot. It's the fact of always being on attack at 6'10", one of the most athletic, one of the most fastest people in the league. You got the ball, being on an attack and being aggressive. You feel what I'm saying? He don't have none of that.
But you can't be a point guard on that team with the dominant big man and not be able to shoot. That affects your offense. You know what I'm saying? Because when it swing, if you going out on the block and they swing to you in the corner and you don't shoot it, what's the point of them doubling Embiid?
But I also know that when Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons play together, it ain't another two teammates in the league that has won as remotely as many games as them. They got the highest win percentage out of any two players when they play together in the NBA. I'm a statistician. And a great Sixer fan, too.
Really?
They won the most games in the next duo is 30-something games behind them.
Steph and Clay?
We might have to fact check that.
Yes, please.
Because Steph Clay won a lot of games.
Please.
No, because I mean, I feel like they had a real chance. I think when they had surrounded those two with a bunch of shooters,
right.
That's all you need. Mm-hmm. But slowly but surely they got rid of those shooters and that exposed Ben's inability
Absolutely.
To shoot the ball.
And then, bro, you cannot, like, how can you not take a shot? You're our second best player on our team. You don't take a shot in four playoff games in the fourth quarter. Every game, you never took a shot in the fourth quarter, bro. To the point where we give you the ball under the basket, you got a dunk and you pass it to somebody. But you're not holding yourself accountable. You're not saying, you know what, I fucked up. Let me hit the gym. Let me get better.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get mentally stronger and physically stronger. We seen Michael Jordan lose to the Pistons year after year after year. They fucked Jordan up. And Jordan said, you know what, let's get the team together. We got to get stronger.
We got to hit this fucking weight room. And then they came back and won. I feel like this new generation, man, these niggas got too much control, man. For real, man. Niggas, oh, I don't want to be here no more. Man, niggas was just happy to be in a league and be making some money and playing basketball, man.
We was.
For real, man.
No, I was.
Man, niggas is like, it's almost like you lose the competition, you lose the fierceness, you lose all of that because everybody homies, everybody friends, everybody's cool, everybody's no rivalries, really. No, nigga, Bird ain't like Doc. Magic and the niggas didn't like Bird. Isaiah Thomas and the niggas didn't like Boston Celtics. We got real basketball. These niggas go on court, they be out there, they be teammates, they out there. I mean, they be on the opposite team. They got slaps there. What the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
He's on the other team.
Yeah. Nah, it's going on a lot.
You ain't lying, though.
It's a different generation.
Like Isaiah Thomas said, man, me and Magic was best friends, man. They threw the ball in the air. I won a full layup. He body slammed me. Yeah. Nigga, we ain't friends no more.
Yeah.
That's how we was, though. Like, we could be best friends off the court, but on the court, it's war.
So for me, it's just like, you got a guy who is nothing wrong with him physically. When you was 10 years old, you didn't have no mental problems playing basketball. To me, I thought basketball was our safe haven.
Yeah.
When I thought basketball was when we going through all the crazy shit that life brings to you. When you step on this court for this 3 hours, nothing else matters.
Yeah.
That's what I thought basketball was.
Yeah.
I didn't even know basketball could give you some fucking mental problems.
Right.
I thought that was some life shit.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. Oh. I ain't been hitting my foul shot, so I'm mentally fucked up now. I didn't even know that could happen because this is a game, bro. This is something we played since we was kids that we fell in love with. That if you had a bad game, I'm pretty sure y'all been in the league, I'm pretty sure y'all had stretches where y'all had 5-6 bad games. Mm-hmm. Did you ever say, I need mental help?
Now, so you understand about why Golden State is my team right now. I've been there since Latrell Sprewell.
Because they got the best record in the league. Right?
Yeah, no. But I would say this, too. Shout out to Ben Simmons. I like your game, player.
I like his game, too.
Oh, fuck all that. I'm a sports analyst, right? And I analyze body language. Listen, Ben, I know it ain't you. Doc Rivers, stop that dumb shit. I believe it's Doc. I don't think it's him. I don't care what nobody's saying. There's some other shit going on. I seen him look at him one time, and the look was not nice. It was nasty look. That's what I believe.
You know how long been in the league?
Listen, I don't care about how long you been in the league. I don't know.
You know, that's why you can't talk to him. He just gonna put that shit on Doc.
Yeah.
It's your fault, Doc. Stop that shit, Doc.
You know how long he hasn't been able to shoot, bro?
Leave that young boy alone. He messed his game up.
Brett Brown, the coach that was there, who got there.
Doc over there on some other shit. Doc bullying that boy.
Yeah, Doc.
That's why he got mental issues. Doc didn't mess his mind up.
Really, Doc, the best thing to happen to him, really.
Listen, Doc was on that Pistons team you talking about. Doc is a tough dude.
No, he wasn't. No, he was with the Celtics, man.
No, he was not. You got Sam Cassell. You got Doc Rivers over there. That's what he needs.
I'm messing with him. He's on the Celtics.
You know what I'm saying? That's what he needs.
Coaching?
No, I'm talking about coaching right now. He got Sam Cassell over there with him.
Yeah.
Doc Rivers and Sam Cassell, they can really help this kid, bro.
Yeah.
That's two of the best people you can have on your side, man.
Absolutely.
I just think Doc.
So for me, man, I just look at it as a cop-out, man. Anybody that's saying, send me to the worst team in the league, I don't want to play with this championship team right here. That's just a fucked up mentality.
The Sixers ain't no championship team. They ain't got no...
That's just a messed up mentality to me.
Championship team.
And see, when we was playing, we only leaving if we ain't getting paid what we want. That's what we was leaving for.
Bro, you mean to tell me, bro...
Okay, I'm gone.
You mean to tell me, bro, you getting paid $32 million to play basketball? And you mentally fucked up.
Because they taking some of his money, right, for not getting on the court. How much
he should be taking some of his money.
Well, he's mentally that. And Doc,
so you gave us
up.
The hot take earlier about you think Steph's taking the MVP. I can't ask him this question because he's going to be at
KD.
The end. Who you feel like is going to win the championship this year?
I feel like it's going to be hard to beat Golden State.
Mm.
I feel like when they get the kid Wiseman back.
Clay?
Because he's a defensive, he's a rim protector. And he could finish a little bit, and he got a little 15 to 17 footer that he can knock down. I feel like them boys gonna be up. They already running this shit. Imagine when they get Klay, and Klay, man, let's be for real, man. Klay like a lion sitting there looking at goddamn 17 wildebeest walk up on him.
I'm saying,
he can't wait to get
the
back.
The way they playing, if he come back 85%, they gonna be on one.
And we already know he gonna come back because he one of them kids, he put the work in. And he feel disrespected too. He didn't make the top 75. He feel disrespected. And I feel though he's the second greatest shooter of all time, in my opinion.
I agree.
Yeah, no question.
You feel what I'm saying? So I feel like if you second to do anything in the league, you should probably be in the fucking top 75. And you got championships as well. And you big reason why y'all won the championships.
Could have been MVP in any one of them championships.
Absolutely. So for me, it's like, I don't see nobody beating Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
What about y'all?
I like Golden State.
Golden State Nets in the finals. Kyrie there. I'm going Nets. Thoughts on future boxing?
Jerome Boutenis.
Yeah, cool. We know that's your boy.
Philly.
I fuck with CBS.
Yeah,
cool boy Steph.
Absolutely.
Yeah, cool boy.
You got him,
absolutely.
Cool boy.
Fighting for
it's going down.
For
Philly.
Unification. Brandon Figueroa.
Have you ate at his spot, his craft spot?
Yeah, we was there. We
man,
was there.
That shit is good.
We was there. I killed it. Yeah, I was on tape killing it.
Yeah, I was on tape killing it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they got a nice spot.
Yeah. I think, man, we just need the best fighting the best. You know what I mean? But I think these young kids, man, is on a different level, man. The Jerome Boots Ennis, the Devin Haney's, the Teofimo Lopez, the Shakur Stevenses, the Chris Coolboy. I mean, the Coolboy Steph, the Chris Colbers. Man, these kids is 15 fights in, man, winning belts, man.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying?
Dangerous.
Fighting veterans.
They already dodging Boots.
Right. Oh, yeah, because Boots hit too hard, man. Boots too, first of all, he the biggest welterweight. He bigger than everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Errol's made bigger than all of them. Then
he's different.
He's different, man. Boots always been different, man.
Mm-hmm.
But Boots' dad is different. Boots' dad right now is 66 years old, get in the ring and spar his fighters and put hands on them.
Word.
Yes.
He different.
Right now. So, you know, Boots reminds me of Floyd because he was born in a boxing gym.
Yeah.
His pop box, his brothers. Two brothers was professionals. His two brothers was the shit. You feel what I'm saying? They just succumb to the hood shit. Once you get 19 and no, you pop in, But his brothers was the shit.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying?
But he the one saying everything they did wrong.
Yep.
He was the one that was right there at all the fights. He like this. 4 years old, he in the gym. 5 years old, he in the gym. Then he got a nephew right now who like, he like 4 years old. If you look at him, I just told Boots in the gym. He the only person that's gonna be better than you.
Mm.
He 4 years old. He already in the gym throwing combinations. They got him sparring 6 years old. So it's like, that's their family, bro.
Mm-hmm.
That kid don't smoke, don't drink, don't go out, don't do shit, but go to the gym and home.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Question, thoughts on that? Because I know there's athletes in similar situations. It's just their life mission. We were fortunate enough to make it, but we enjoyed the process. Not saying these people are not going to enjoy it, but you just mentioned like the kind of regimen he's on. What do you think about that? I mean, some people are just straight work and don't enjoy the pleasures of it. Some people can work and enjoy the pleasures. What are your thoughts?
I feel like when you in sports, when you in, you know, like yo, I feel like, man, the most important thing, man, is to get your money, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like Boots right now. You know, or any boxer right now. You young, you hungry, you got the talent. God bless you with that talent. Now it's up to you to put the hard work in and finish the job off. This is, what are we talking about? This is a 13, 14 year thing. That's when it's over, you're probably gonna miss the shit for the rest of your life because everybody missed the roar of the crowd.
Right.
Everybody missed that. 6'8" from the University of.
Yeah.
Y'all miss that shit. We all miss it a little bit. You feel what I'm saying? So, but what I always tell them is these next 10, 12 years is the most important years of your life.
Mm.
You do these right.
You set.
For the rest of your life, if you want to have four chicks in Mexico throwing your dick in a Russian headlock, you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to run around here like Hugh Hefner
with
55 women.
Rush the airline.
Saying I'm married, man. He's trying.
Rush the airline.
But I'm just saying, if you want to run around here like Floyd Mayweather, with 22 women walking into all your events, you could do that because you worked hard to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But you first got to achieve your goals to be able to live how you. So you got to do what you don't want to do now to do what you want to do later.
Mm. Gang.
Feel me?
Yeah.
Looking back from you guys' first episode that aired in April of 19, are you guys happy with what you've accomplished and the progress you've continued to make?
I'm just happy with Barstool, man.
Shout out to
Barstool, man. The best partners we could have ever possibly got with.
Because one thing I liked about them is they know how to measure tomorrow. A lot of people look at you right now, and when they look at you right now, and they basically, oh, is you at the top right now? And they can't see tomorrow. A lot of these companies, a lot of people,
no vision.
They don't have the vision and understand this technology and understand growth and say, okay, they right here now. Imagine where they're gonna be 5 years from now. Imagine a lot of people just say, oh, they're not hot this month. They hot, they warm, but we don't have the resources to make the, you know, to give them the more ammunition to amplify them more. And they did. They understood. They got with us. We talked to them. We sat down. I think we had 1 million. We went to the office. Then Dave and Erica, E Money, came down to us. And we got it done. It wasn't no bullshit. I'm not meeting the meet. We're not doing all these meetings. When you got the numbers and you doing it, what are we talking about? Jerry Maguire, show me the money.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Power of social media and how vital it is today. And like you said from the beginning, I mean, getting your shit off.
Like, you got to get, like one thing about social media, it makes the world small because everybody's connected. But it's also, as a tool that you can utilize to get your message. I don't care if you're selling rocks. I don't care if you're selling rice. I don't care if you just talking. It's a place where as though it can amplify anything you got if you're willing to put the work in and build.
It's your own network.
It's basically your own thing. And it's about building now. It's about, are you going to be disciplined enough to build whatever you're going to, and you got to service these people every day. You got to service your audience and understand that you work for your audience. The audience don't work for you.
Right.
And once you understand that, you got to build your audience and overserve some time. Because we're living in a world where as though 1 minute on social could change your life forever. Mm-hmm. One day, and because that minute could turn into a day, and that day could turn into a and it could take, but a lot of people don't have nothing to land on. You know how you have people that we hear about? They wasn't putting the work, they just stumbled across that moment. So by you not putting the work, when they go, the people don't have nothing to double back and land on.
15 minutes of fame.
Because you don't have no body of work there. Mm-hmm. So you got two type of people. You got the people that go and they stay because they got something to go back to. They're going to go back to your YouTube. Oh, this guy, he been doing this. Then some people, they go, they got a moment, get a little hot. people burn them out, and then it's over. Mm-hmm. So you got to be able to build something, and you got to super serve your audience. Mm-hmm. You got to take care of them because our attention span is like this. Mm-hmm. They can forget about you tomorrow. If you don't come tomorrow, they're going to forget about you. You got to come every day on social, and you got to bring that fire, whatever you got going on, and it's going to help you. You know, social media, it builds you when you work on it. It grows you.
It's also an ego crush.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It crushes millions of people's egos every day because people are out here measuring their life,
man,
to other motherfuckers on Instagram.
No, right off now. Illusions. This shit is magical, too. It's a lot of musicians.
Talk to
it's not illusions.
They're measuring themselves to something measuring. That ain't real.
Listen, you will sit there and watch Instagram and use a lot of these relationships, a lot of the success is productions. You will watch a production on Instagram and you will measure your life of what you're doing and not doing. Yo, you're watching a movie. You're watching a production.
Thanks.
Like they produced that. It took time to get that hair on. It took time to go and borrow that car. It took time to take the pictures in that hotel or that Airbnb.
Rent that house. Yeah.
It took time. The photographer had to get the pictures and edit them and send them back.
People do whole photo shoots just for Instagram.
Yeah, absolutely.
It took time to go into the clear port and act like you was getting off the jet. Like, it took time for that.
After you landed in Southwest?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It took time for that.
Shout out Southwest. I fly Southwest a lot.
So at the end of the day, Southwest, plug him up.
I'm Delta. Delta, show me love.
Deal. Oh, we got deals right there. I'm going to negotiate them. I'm going to be back with y'all.
Yes, sir.
But what I'm saying, that's what it's about, partnership.
I got you a cut.
Rand, come on.
I'm going to negotiate.
You're not know people that know people. But what I'm saying is that you'll be looking at a highly Hollywood-like produce illusion,
right.
And you'll say, oh, I'm not living, I'm not doing enough, why me? Oh, God, please. You talk, God, don't stop taking that shit to God, too.
Yeah.
Stop talking to God about these illusions down here. You keep talking to God. Leave God the fuck alone. You talking to God. God, like, you back to this? I got to take care of the blind, I got to take care of the homeless, I got
to
take care of the
little.
You back, didn't I tell you about this last week? You back asking me about some worldly things that I already put. God put everything on the planet for you. All the tools you need.
Right here.
He put everything in it. Go connect with it.
Yeah.
But leave him alone because he got to take care of the babies. He got to take care of the elderly.
Shit didn't matter.
He got to take care of the mentally ill. But you keep hollering and be like, oh, you back again? Didn't I tell you?
You keep hollering about the Lamborghini.
Yeah. You keep hollering about you want a Lamborghini. People tell me, pray to God for all these worldly things. I want a Chanel bag. Come on, man. That bullshit.
Nah, people measure their worth on likes and comments.
Yeah.
It's a sad society.
Oh, and it's destroying relationships.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. too.
It's destroying relationships. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's destroying relationships because everything is a measurement. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, Jack bought his girl a Lamborghini. Or Jack, oh, now you got women that, how you were trying to press the dude to get a Lamborghini?
Yeah.
You're a registered nurse, shorty, and dude is a mailman. But you putting pressure on, you sending him that stuff at work. He like, well, how you supposed to take that?
If I let you send a picture of Kylie's sister buying a money bag, 28 acres, and send that to her. Mm-hmm. Why you gotta do that? Why I gotta buy all that?
Yeah.
Why? You know what I'm saying? It's a different situation.
Absolutely. I can't speak for everybody, but I can speak for the brothers. And it's like we living in a world now where for so long the system was, they had a marketing campaign against us saying we wasn't shit. Then the media had a marketing campaign saying that was a shit. Now the black women saying we ain't shit.
Right.
So it's like, what the fuck?
Thanks, Summer Walker.
Especially social media. It's like,
it's damn. It's ain't shit niggas out there, though.
Yeah, you ain't.
But some ain't shit bitches out there.
Yeah, that too.
That's what make the world go round.
Yeah.
Shit.
But it's like, you're in a situation now where it's though.
Fighting
like, man
everything.
Is taking a beating out here.
What?
Especially on social media.
Thank you, Summer Walker.
It ain't just her, it's a bunch of them. Everybody healing, everybody hurt. All this crazy shit.
Yeah. Shout out Summer Walker.
I think the nigga's mad at her right now.
Quick hitters. First thing to come to mind, y'all can work together on these top five rappers in the game right now.
Y'all probably had them all on y'all show.
Top five rappers in the game right now?
Yeah, I had one of my favorites on y'all show recently.
Who is? You asking this?
Yeah. In your opinion.
Oh, in my opinion.
In y'all opinion.
The baby. Thug.
I'm Thug.
Lil Durk.
Jadakiss. He's hot. That's my guy.
Moneybagg Yo.
He on one.
Moneybagg Yo.
EST hot right now.
How you ain't gonna mention Ye and Drake?
You can give your list next.
Fuck is it, man?
No disrespect, man. I be representing the young niggas, man. I ride around listening to young niggas, man.
EST?
ESTG.
That's my dog.
Yeah, he's hard.
I gotta go get that nigga a break, boy. 21
Savage.
He came and stayed in my house for 2 days. That's the only thing we heard for two days. I didn't know who he was. I can sing all his songs now. I rap all his shit.
Look back.
Who's your list?
My list can be...
Of course, you want the Dreezy, Drake, Ye, and then
shout out to my nephew because I still be listening. Shout out to Pooh Shiesty, free Pooh Shiesty, man. I hope you make it out. Shout out to your family, everybody back in Cane Creek and Memphis. Shout out to y'all. You got. It's crazy because I be listening to all type of stuff. Like DaBaby, I've been listening to that new joint. Who else I've been listening to new? I be listening to.
And
so
he
much
said news. Right now.
Right now, okay. I like Nardo Wick. I like his song. Always 21. I got like the same list, ESCG, but I listen. I listen to Ye and all. I listen to Drake. I listen to all that stuff. So I can't just get five. But I'm never gonna be able to get five. There's too many.
Each of your dream interviews, past or present, the dream person to have on your show.
Interview. Michael Jordan.
You. Denzel.
Dope. Wow.
Dope.
Gilly, it's more for you. Build your own starting five of current NBA players to go head up against each other. Oh, no, so both of you guys, your starting fives to play, you guys are the coaches.
Oh, I got you. I'm going to kill you.
Oh, I got Steph at the point, right? I got...
All right, who's your point? We'll go back and forth so you don't...
What's my man? Damian Lillard.
Okay. Who's your two?
My two would have to be... I'm gonna go with the Golden State backcourt. I'm going to shoot.
Clay.
I'm picking. Let me get
smart
what's name.
Boy.
Let me get a. I need a Durant.
That's your two.
That's your two guard.
We don't even know what the position.
No, I'm not. I'm just picking my team.
We're going back and forth.
Who's your shooting guard?
Who's your shooting guard?
You can put him at two.
No, see, back when I played, it wasn't no twos and ones.
Yes, it was. Are you trying to do this?
That's definitely when it was. Oh, now there ain't no numbers.
But I'm just saying, you talking about this ain't no DJ and ones and twos. Okay. I'm not doing that.
So you got K. You got.
I got my man Durant and I got Damian Lillard. We got established that.
Who's next? Who you got?
My three. I'm putting.
You got two shooters already.
I know. I'm going defense, but we can make plays as well. Oh no, I'm going the three. I'm going Luka.
Yo, I gotta pick my man.
I just thought you. I just knew you was going Bron.
Yo, I gotta pick my other man.
I'm going Luka,
my team
man.
Last year. My man Giannis.
Giannis is a
Giannis,
three.
Okay.
Play. All
right.
Dang. I got a team. I'm stacking on him.
Dang. My four. I'm going. Damn, that's hard.
I'm killing him. I'm killing him already. How you gonna mess? I'm killing you.
KD Luka. And Giannis.
That's just length.
I got shooters, man.
That's a whole bunch of buckets, nigga.
That's length, man.
That's 50 points. Mm-hmm. 20, that's 60 points.
You done. I killed him. He pulls in no sports.
Hold on. My four.
You can move him to the four.
Bron.
Who's your next pick?
Yo, what's the boy? I need the curly hair boy from Atlanta that be shooting that came
Trae
in.
Trae Young?
Yeah, I'm putting him on the team, too.
So you got Trae Young, Dame, KD, and Giannis.
From Atlanta.
That's the boy.
And then I'm going Joel.
You're in trouble. By your last pick,
big money full
guy.
I
got to put you in trouble because Trae Small.
Trae and Dame. First of all, Clay play defense.
Clay is locking up.
Clay locking up. Joel and B play defense.
Bron block shots.
Bron play defense, but he used to be more lazy now.
It's one of them dudes I like on the Knicks.
Bron waiting for the playoffs to step his D up.
I don't know how I'm going to pick my last one. I think it's one of them tall boys. I don't know. Somebody on one of them.
My that? Team busted.
Joker?
Because, see, we move the ball.
Joker?
Yeah, get him.
Yeah.
Get him.
I got it.
Get him.
Listen.
I seen this game.
The difference is my team move the ball. You got all dominant, need the ball in their hands to shoot. No, Steph can come off a pick. Clay can get 60 points on four dribbles.
Yeah.
He don't need the ball. So that loosens up LeBron being able to have the ball a little bit more. He can facilitate Steph and Clay coming off. Man, you got to be kidding me. You ain't got a shot, man.
What albums can you listen to on repeat? No skips. One album that you can listen
Sampa,
to.
Sampa, my greatest album in the world, Processed by Sampa.
Who?
Sampa.
Sampa?
That's my favorite artist in the world. He's from London. His name's Sampa. S-A-M-P-H-A. No, he just is just soulful.
What genre?
Electronic.
Oh, okay.
He's everything. I got to meet him.
One album that I can listen to.
I got to meet Sampa.
Just
before I spot him.
I heard him.
I got to, man.
One album I could listen to front to back probably would be Reasonable Doubt.
Ooh, I've been on that heavy. That's crazy. You said I've been on that heavy like the last three or four days.
Dead presidents.
Heavy, heavy, heavy.
I pop with y'all.
Can't knock the hustle.
Reasonable Doubt.
What's some game or advice you would give your listeners, our listeners right now?
Just do it, man. Whatever you trying to do in life, do that shit, man. Stop watching life pass you by like a fucking Honda Accord on the E-Way, man. Stop overthinking shit. Do.
My thing is,
do and figure out as you doing it.
My thing is, number one, pick you. Pick you, and if you feel it, live it. Don't double back when you're feeling. If you feel that you want to wear this, if you feel that you want to do this,
go with your gut.
Go ahead and live it, because you got. If you want to be a graphic designer, go on YouTube and learn it. Whatever you want, if you want to wear certain clothes, if you want to, you know, have your hair blonde, whatever your thing is out there in life, don't let nobody put their insecurities and fears of the idea of the life that you have for yourself. Just go out, especially the young kids. I know it's hard because you got people out there that's going to say something about you on social media or that's not going to approve. Stop looking for approval from people. You know, we looking for approval to live. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't need permission to live. Get out there and live your life every way possible. I don't care what you are. I don't care what you think you want to do. Just live it. Cool. You know what I mean? Because you feel it, and that's who you are, you know?
Last question, man. If you could have a duo on All the Smoke, who would it be? But before y'all answer the question, y'all have to help us get y'all answer on the show.
Y'all set the bar pretty high with yourselves, though. So is there another duo out there you could think of?
That would have... No, what you mean? That will be on this show?
Yeah. No, duo. I mean, you got the two, you know.
Yeah. It's
only one I can think of that we fuck with.
Like, when you say a duo, I probably think, like, two people that is Nori and FN. EFN.
Who were you saying? Who are you thinking?
Come on, man. Knuckleheads.
Oh.
Dash Miles and Quinn Richardson.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I got it. See, I was thinking what they thought, though, too. That's funny.
Was Nori
EFN?
Yeah. You said, dude, like, you know.
I don't know them. That's why I didn't say that. You know,
oh, no, I can make the call. We can get that done.
You know, I just like the fact that, man, we all in different lanes, man, and we all got love for each other, and we all embracing each other, and it's no competition,
not at all.
Man.
It's we grown for men. Out here. Just,
we grown men,
right?
We actually
yourself.
You're 50, so that's like
we setting an example of how it's supposed to be.
Well, I didn't know I was older than you. That's crazy.
No, you old. He older than he 50.
No, I know. So he's 45. Like, I'm 43. I didn't know I was older than you.
No, he's 50. He's 50. He just
shut the hell up.
He 50. He really 50.
Yeah.
He about to pull up. He about to Google his shit.
He really 50.
he put that out there too. Lying there. He got motherfuckers really walking up on me on my birthday, telling me happy 50. I'm like, dog, I'm what? Wilder said you was 50 on the gram this morning.
Like, the funniest shit when y'all see people that look like y'all posted on y'all page. That's the
Bro, I don't gotta see it because all my followers send that shit to me. Gil, I seen you out here at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Hey, but also real shit, we gotta do.
Who did this, man?
Yeah, nigga, I'm 37, nigga.
Tell me he 37 on Google.
I'm 37, nigga.
You did that.
Said you did that.
Like you said, nigga, I knew people that knew people that knew people, nigga. I'm 37.
Look. Gilly the Kid net worth and pop up. Why Slim from Cash Money pop up? Look.
Oh, that's whose face came up?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what did they say my net worth was? $2 million. They got me fucked up.
They ain't seen the new contracts?
They got me fucked up. That, when they posted that up?
It always matters.
96.
Hey, we want to thank y'all for coming through, man. We really appreciate what you guys are doing.
Man. Appreciate y'all,
definitely got to collab and do something together.
Yes, we do,
absolutely, man.
We coming to Atlanta. We can come to Wish They Ain't Pull Up on the Live. We going to get it in,
good
man.
Good luck with the tour. Good luck with everything.
Yeah, go check out. Listen, get your tickets, man.
Right.
Go to Million Dollars Worth of Game.
Yeah, plug it right now. Plug it.
Million Dollars Worth of Game. Go to
December
Game.
4th.
December 4th is going down. That's when it starts. Hit
December
the link in the bio.
Go New to York.
Gilly the King on Instagram. Wallow267 on Instagram. M Worth of Game. Go to our YouTube. Subscribe. Go to Apple. Go to Spotify. Listen, tap into what's going on. $1 million Worth of Game, man. We not playing no game. Barstool Sports, man.
Leaders of the culture, man.
You already know.
Appreciate our brothers. We appreciate you.
Well, that's a wrap, man. Y'all can catch this episode, Showtime YouTube Basketball, and the iHeart platform, Black Effects.
Black Effects. Shout out to Charlamagne, too.
Shout out to Charlamagne, for sure. You already know.
What's his name? Shout out to LeRon.
LeRon, yeah. Lenard.
Lenard.
Shout out to Lenard.
This is All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeart Radio in partnership with Showtime.
The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/One Love to try it free now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.